Wow, what a week we've had. It has been good. We was able to go up in the mountains for, well, we left on Wednesday, didn't come back till this morning. Had a really, really good time. I was kind of looking for something special that I had, well, it was a road or, yeah, up there that I didn't know where it was, and I still don't know where it is. But I found it one time when we were deer hunting and come back down there, and so we took a little hike. Had to walk. And we walked up the mountain, and boy, did we got more than we bargained for. Absolutely. Got up about halfway on the mountain, and it just opened up into some of the most beautiful pasture land that you've ever seen in your life. All just so beautiful up there. Just as far as you can see in all directions. Cattle moving around, you know. And I looked up on top of that mountain. I looked there, and like that straight up. And up on top there was one of them brown knolls with the nice green grass. Oh, just looked like heaven, you know. And I told Roger, I said, boy, I'd like to go up there. He said, okay. So we started. I think it was about an hour and a half later. We got on top of that, but from the top of that mountain, you could see just everywhere. It was pick out land points here and there. I could have stayed there all day. And I says to myself, Larry, this may be as close to heaven you ever get. No, not really. Yeah. And, yes, we got to come back across there and got to see some of them big old vultures, you know. You ugly thing. But in the midst of them big old vultures was one of them bald eagles. That first one I ever seen up there in the mountains. But he was there. He landed in the tree. Got a good look at him. So beautiful. Had a great time. Got away and felt rested up real good. I don't know about the rest of that. That one hike there was more than I wanted. But had a good time. Had a really good time. But glad to be back. Get back in the harness and get back to God's Word. You know, even out there enjoying the outdoors and, of course, studying. And I thought, well, what will I be doing looking back across my congregation on Sunday morning? And it's a good feeling. It is a good feeling to know that you're coming back home. That you're coming back to the people that you love, the people that is my family. Mm-hmm. And it's good. Even though we do need a rest once in a while. And I'm going again. Okay, turn with me, if you will, to the book of John. Yes, it is. St. John. 10th chapter. I'll get into this one. Before Cindy does. Amen? Got her. 10th chapter, John 10. I want to read to you from the 27th through the 30th verse. Quite familiar scripture, but I think maybe God has something for us here. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Lord, God, and open them up to us. Open these ears, O Lord, that we might be able to hear what you have for us this morning. And Lord, prick our hearts with your word. But Lord, then, Lord, use it. Use it, O God, for the betterment of the community, for the gain of the church. Help us, Lord. We thank you, we praise you. In the name of Jesus. Scriptures that I just read were, like I said, quite familiar to us. We've heard time and time again. But it's God's promise. It's God's promise to us of eternal life. After, yes, eternal life. No man can take it away from you. Period. Zip. That's it. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, that is our ticket. Our way into eternal life. Into heaven. You're not there yet, but it's almost heaven here on earth if we live within the Spirit that God gives us. He tells us there in that word, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Wow. Y'all familiar with sheep? Yeah, you are. Sheep are kind of an animal that's, well, I don't know whether dumb or whether what, but you don't drive sheep. If you try to drive sheep, boy, they'll fight, they'll go this way, they'll go that way. Coming down the road there the other day, was three loose out in the road, you know, and trying to get around them with a vehicle. But finally they did turn around and go away. Point is this. That you don't drive sheep. You ever watch that sheep dog? They move around and they have an awful time keeping those sheep or guiding them in because that sheep just don't want to do what the dog wants him to do. But he says there in the word, my sheep know my voice. A shepherd walking into the field can walk out there and talk to his sheep, and they will hear him, and they will listen to him, and they will come to him, and they will follow him. Just that simple. But don't try to drive them. There's a word in there for us here in the church. When we try to drive home a point, your pastor is guilty of it. When we try to make people obey the word, you can't do it. You can't drive people into anything. They'll rebel on you, they'll buck on you worse than the sheep. They'll try some other way, and they'll try this and that. But if you speak the word in the right language, they will follow you. They're watching your every step. Every time we make a move, there's people within our little community right here that knows your car, that knows you should be when you pull into the parking lot. Yes, they know it. You may not think so, but they watch you. They watch you. They watch your life. They watch you when you're going through Walmart. They watch you when you're driving your car down the road and things don't go just right. They're watching you. You can't force the Word of God or Jesus Christ on anybody. You can't do it. It's up to the Holy Spirit to do the calling. It's just like he says there, my sheep know my voice. His voice is the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. But the point that I'd like to make on this being Father's Day, he said it down there in that last verse that I read to you, the 30th verse, I am to you. Back for years and years, and you've probably been confronted with the same thing, when somebody comes up to you and says, if the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all one, they're the same, but they're different. You can't explain. You can't. But you know, it was revealed to me that this is like, well, reading some too. But that the person of Jesus Christ and the person of the Father and the person of the Holy Spirit are three independent different sources. Three. But those three make up one Godhead. God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three in one. Hard to understand, and someone said, well, how can you explain this? And I've heard it explained several ways. One way is an apple. You take an apple. You have a core. You have the meat. And you have the outside skin. They're all a part of the apple. Same as God, the Father, the core, the Son, the meat, the skin, the Holy Spirit. Could very well be. That Holy Spirit thing that keeps us in check, keeps us in line, guides us, whatever. That part, without it, well, you're lacking. Without that Holy Spirit to shield you, then we might be vulnerable to whatever the old Satan has to throw at us. Yeah. But the three, independent, but yet one. I and my Father are one. That's what he said. Go back to Genesis, 22nd chapter. Just a moment. Genesis 22. Spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You know the story of Abraham and Isaac, and how that God spoke to Abraham and told him to take Isaac, his son, to a place he would show him on the mountain and offer him up as a burnt offering. Wow. Father, son, that father, you remember how he got that son with a miraculous birth. Was God going to destroy little Isaac? He knew the plan. But Abraham had to trust his father
Abraham had to trust God to the very most, even to a point of taking his son's life. Could you do it? No way. No way could I raise a knife to slay my son. But Abraham was willing to do it. We read someplace in the scripture that says no man, God takes no man. Right? That's what I read. God never did tempt anybody. Read the first part of that. Read the first part of that. God did tempt Abraham. He did. To see if Abraham was of the quality that he was needing to do the job that was to be done. The father of the country. The leader. It was something that was going to require pure faith. And he wanted to see if Abraham could stand the test. Wow. Well, I'm glad it was him and not me. Because I know that I would fail miserably. I fail miserably here on some of the little things that God would have me to do, let alone something like that. But when God told him to do this, he says, "Hey, your son Isaac, show you the place." And he did just that. He took him when he got there. And it says there that he bound him. He placed it on the altar. He raised the knife, ready to slay his son, ready to kill him, take his life. Oh, can you imagine the feeling that would be in Abraham's heart to be? And you'd have to say, "Lord, what's going on here?" But as he raised that knife, ready to slay his son, the angel appeared unto him and said, "Hurt not." Just wanted to see if you'd be willing to do it. And what happened? As Abraham had told his son earlier, he said, "Where is the sacrifice?" He said, "God will provide the sacrifice." And he looked at it, and the bushes over there was caught with a ram. He was caught. He had provided him the scapegoat. Yeah, there he was. He was caught, and he took that scapegoat. Wow, can you imagine the relief on that father's heart when God provided the lamb? How that he must have been, he must have felt like, wow, the load is gone from it. He could breathe again. Now, Lord, I'm ready for the work that you have. God was so pleased with Abraham as to what he had done. It was a time of trust. The whole point of the whole story is trust in the Father. You know, as we had Mother David 2 weeks back, and we talked about physical mothers, spiritual mothers. There is spiritual fathers, there is earthly fathers. Fathering a child doesn't make you a father. It does not. But it's this dedication. Just like Abraham had to Isaac. It's this dedication like Abraham had to God the Father that makes fathers fathers. Today, too often, we don't have fathers. We have parents. But we don't have fathers leading their children in the ways of God. Turn them loose to the world. Do whatever you please. Whatever feels good, do it. But But fathers lead their children. You know, back when we were raising our son, we drove that poor lad all over this country. When we was singing here and there, we went everywhere around over the country and drug him on, you know. And we kind of weighed this thing in a balance, like, there's a point. You go too far, they're going to resent it. They're going to rebel against you. They're going to do that. So where is that point? And it's a tough question to follow. And we got to use a little common sense a lot of times. But thanks be unto God. If you train up a child in the way that he should go, he will not depart from it when he's old. Is that scripture? Amen. It is. You say, Abraham. Well, I tell you, as he was climbing that mountain, that must have been the highest mountain that he, that one I climbed over the weekend was nothing. Compared to what that every step as he went up that mountain, knowing what was in front of him, knowing that he was going to have to slay his son, every step he took up to that mountain must have been like a, oh, I can't even begin to imagine. God did provide. He had to trust. He trusted in his heavenly Father to a point that it was complete. If we today would have that much faith, that much trust in our heavenly Father as Abraham had today, wow, what would happen? Name it, it'll happen if it's in God's will. We don't even begin to scratch. As I said, would I be willing to take the knife? I would say. That's what it is. How about the smaller things? The lesser things? When we, God would ask us to do something, well, that's not that big. And we say, well, yes. We can't do that. We faith. We stop short. Because we do not trust. We do not have the faith to believe that God, as Abraham said, he will provide. He will provide in every case. I don't care what it is. If we have the faith to believe, the trust in the Father, it will happen. It will happen. We are the only thing that keeps us sure. That's the first scripture I read to you. No man can pluck you out of the hand of the Father. No man can do that. No devil can do it. Nothing can do it. Only person that can do it is you. Pluck you out of the hand. Ooh. He also tells us in there that we need to follow. Just like the sheep, we have to follow along. If we're prodded, if we're pushed, if we're beat, if we're whatever, then we will rebel. There's not one of us sitting in here that would not rebel if we were to, if someone were to come in and say, you're going to do this and you're going to do that, and they say, you're crazy, I ain't going to do it. That's the first thing we would tell them. God doesn't tell us that. He says, follow me. Just like the little sheep, follow me. That's all we have to do. Isn't that simple? Back there, as I look back there at that window, I see the head down like this. Follow me. Just as simple as that. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, not on the things of this world, not on your neighbor, not on anything else, but keep your eyes on Jesus, and things will work. Yes. When we call the Lord down, things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. When we see people in trouble, sicknesses, believe in Jesus Christ, things are going to happen. Not necessarily the way we want them, but as He wants them. It was heartbreaking this morning to get the news that the girl had died. And it always posed the question to me, it don't seem right that this would happen. But you see, I'm questioning what God did. And that's, but when you lose someone like this, as I told you before, maybe I didn't. But she was one of my teenage Sunday school students. Hard. But God knows. He knows all about it. And it's His purpose. It's His plan. I accept it. I don't know why, but I accept it. You know, following Jesus Christ is easy if we don't take the attitude of the value. Questioning God. Why? Sometimes we have to just stand on the faith and say, Lord, I don't know why, but I accept. And somewhere down the road, you're going to show me what this was all about. It's following. Proud of the way that they took care of us, provided for us, led us. You know, that's kind of great. Told you before. There's no preachers in my family. One quaint fat uncle went back there on the other side. It wasn't handed down to me through father to son to whatever. It wasn't instilled within me from my father taking me to church. It was not. But you see, God can do miracles. He can take a ornery, rotten, red-headed, worthless boy in the town, and you turn him around, give him a beautiful wife, make him the pastor of a beautiful church, make him a part of the family of God. And he can do miracles for each and every one of us. He can do miracles for our children. He can do miracles for anyone we ask, if we ask him faithfully. Abraham. Man, he took some faith. He started out on that journey up that mountain. He took two faith. But God did it. He will deliver for each and every one of us, regardless of what it is. It may not be a situation like that. It most likely will not be. But sometimes the decisions that we have to make, those things that we have to come to grips with, sometimes they can be a mountain, just like Abraham. But God is on that mountain. And He's right there ready to provide the sacrifice. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, you're so good to us. You've provided all of our needs more than we deserve. Lord, I just ask that you look down upon us as a congregation here, Lord, and find us, O God, obedient to you, obedient, O Lord, to the point that we'd be willing to make the supreme sacrifice you would ask. Help us, Lord, to overcome fear, doubt, all of it. Lord, we just pray that you would take us, use us, mold us, make us what we need to be. We thank you, Lord, for this little place of worship. Lord, that you keep it holy.